Meanwhile, when a crowd of many thousands had gathered so that they were trampling on one another, Jesus began to speak first to his disciples, saying, "Be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees," which is hypocrisy. "There is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed, or hidden that will not be made known. What you have said in the dark will be heard in the daylight, and what you have whispered in the ear in the inner rooms will be proclaimed from the roofs." There's no hiding from God. No hiding. I wrestled with this. But the reality of it is that there is an exposing that is coming to the church. You already see it in the nation, but to the church, because God is getting his bride ready. And I'm going to say it, and I'm going to say it consistently, because I want you to understand why it's happening. I'm going to call it the fake days are over. God said the days that you try to hide or be fake, they're coming to an end. So that means that, as Toby shared this morning, there has to be a brokenness for you to allow God to do what he has to do to get you back right again. The reality of the fact is there are many Christians who proclaim to be Christians, but they are not living as disciples. They're not living ready as if Jesus is coming back soon, or let's say today. And so with that, there comes a lackadaisical attitude that says, well, I'll get to it, and then when I feel ready or when I feel prompted, I'll get ready. But the reality of it is that you may not get to that point, because your apathy and your laziness has caused you to drift off into such a place that it's very difficult to prod you back to where you need to be. And you can fall into religiosity and have a religious tone about you. And rather than experiencing the fullness that God has, you begin to look at people through eyes of cynicism, through eyes of bitterness, not because it's their issue, but because it's yours. And you look at the world in a skewed way, all because of where you're at. And God is getting people ready, and he's pulling people from different parts and saying, hey, get this ready, fix this, change that, allow me to come in and heal that. Because he knows when the sweep comes, who's going to be left? And it's his mercy and his grace that is calling out to you now, saying, change it, hear me. If you hear me knocking, open it up, open the door. Don't miss what I'm trying to tell you right now. And you know what that looks like, because you've talked to people and you've talked to them and they're listening to you, but not hearing a word you're saying. Because they're thinking about something else. And it's sad, because you got people preaching, you got people speaking truth, and people are listening to you, but they're not hearing it. Because their mind is not where it should be. They're checked out. They're thinking about other things. The enemy has got a hold in to where compromise has filled their life, and they're thinking about something else. They're thinking about what's grabbed them. That's what happens with compromise. That's what happens when you get religious. You're thinking about everything else but a real relationship with Christ. And so God can't get in and speak to you on stuff, because he's got to get through all that stuff in your life that you barricaded because you're afraid to let God in and see the real you. Hypocrisy, acting under a mask. Masquerading like you are something, but you're not. And it's exhausting. It is exhausting. I can only think about the Pharisees, how exhausted they were. And Jesus came in and said, listen, you brood of vipers. You snakes. There's nothing good about you. If you ever want someone to tell you like it is, just talk to Jesus. He does not hold back. He'll tell you like it is. There are things that sometimes God tells me, I'm like, did you just say that? He says it because of the reality of who he is. Because when he says it, he speaks truth. It's power. It's got might behind it. He's not some soft God who just speaks softly and says, this is the way it is. It doesn't happen that way. When God speaks, things happen. That's why he has to be careful when he speaks, because when things happen and he decrees something, there's no taking it back. So when he speaks to you and says, you're not ready, you're not ready. And it's up to you what you do with it. And we all like to think we're ready. But the reality of it is, there are still things that we're circling around, wondering whether or not we're going to take a bite because it's attractive. Because there's still a little bit, and this is the reality of living in a fallen world, there's still the reality of the temptation of missing out on something that everyone else has partaken to. I got to tell you right now, there's nothing in this world right now that's worth missing out what God has for you. Nothing. And I understand some of you might be where you got your feet in the water right now. You're like, this is fun. This is good. Everyone should do this. And this is great. The reality of it is, little by little, it's sucking you in. And before you know it, you're going to look around. Where'd everybody go? You're going to be in the end of the pool with a beer in your hand and one of those swimmy things on you. You'll be like, where'd everybody go? They're gone. Gone. They're doing God's will. God, you know, they're gone. Where'd everybody go? You've been drunk for 3 days. Where'd everybody go? They're gone. You know, you're looking for people that have gone. Some of us are still, they're waiting for people to come back. They're gone. They're not coming back. Maria, go ahead and go to Genesis. Yeah, and I did wrestle on this, and I believe this is what God wanted me to share today. Sodom and Gomorrah were two cities. Jesus said, I had enough of them. Had enough. I'm going to tell you why in a minute. He's so mean. No, he's righteous. He's holy. He's just. He gives you chances. Gives you chances. Lot is now living in Sodom. In Sodom. He has his wife and two daughters, and they are together. Three men originally came in, one of them being Jesus. There were two other men. We're going to say they were angels, okay? They are now approaching and coming into the city where Lot is. Two men said to Lot, do you have anyone else here, sons-in-law, sons or daughters, or anyone else in the city who belongs to you? Get them out of here. Because we are going to destroy this place. The outcry to the Lord against his people is so great that he has sent us to destroy it. So Lot went out and spoke to his sons-in-law. Take note of this, because this is how this is going to happen sometimes in end times with people who are pledged to marry his daughters. He said, hurry and get out of this place because the Lord is about to destroy the city. But the sons-in-law thought he was joking. He's joking. With the coming of the dawn, the angels urged Lot, saying, hurry, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, or you will be swept away when the city is punished. And when he hesitated, the men grasped his hand and the hands of his wife and of his two daughters and led them safely out of the city, for the Lord was merciful to them. And as soon as they had brought them out, one of them said, flee for your lives, don't look back, and don't stop anywhere in the plain. Flee to the mountains, or you will be swept away. God in his mercy said, I'm coming for you, Lot, and I know you made a choice to live in a city that is opposite to the way my heart is. Opposite and counterintuitive and counterproductive to your life, but I'm going to have mercy on you, and I'm going to send my people down to get you. And I want you to think for a moment about this city. This was not a city like today. Or you might say, okay, it might be like Las Vegas. Some of you might say, well, Las Vegas is pretty close, okay? Because if you read the story, this is what was happening in the story. Here's a quick little tidbit of what was happening in the story. This is real stuff, all right? This is real. So anytime you think, well, the Bible's not full of anything that is very exciting, read the Old Testament and just look at some of the stuff God allows you to see, okay? This city was so sinful that the men and the boys came to Lot's house and say, those men that are in the house, get them out of here because we want to have sex with them. Men and the boys. Men and the boys. Say, it was so sinful that they said, come on. And Lot said, listen, hold on. Don't take these guys. Take my daughters who have not been with any man. Take my daughters. And they said, we don't want your daughters. We want these men. And they approached to knock down the door to get inside. This is how wicked the city was. And the angels blinded them so they could not see, pulled them back in the house and say, it's time to go. This is no joke. Because God's about to do something here. And so we have an issue. Lot has now befriended the city. He's in the city. This is what compromise does to you. Okay, he lives now in the city that God is about to destroy because slowly and little by little, it's not like he began to overtake that. That began to overtake him. Anytime you talk about compromise and anytime you talk about sin, it doesn't happen the other way of where I feel like I'm just going to date him to save him. Okay, and what happens most of the time is that there's a turning or where the one that is saved or the one that is righteous begins to wane a little bit and compromise on the relationship status because I don't want to lose them. You should have thought about that before you started. You get yourself into a position where you like what you see, and Jesus looks past that and says, well, you know what? The inside is what I see. Run. He's in a position of now he has to make a decision of what he's going to do. And it's not like he heeded the warning at first. He didn't heed it. He hesitated. It was God's mercy that said, I'll take your hand. If you're not going to come, I'm going to take you. I want you to think about your life right now. This time that God took you out, the time that he took your hand and said, listen, I'm going to force you to get out of here. Right now, in my mercy and my grace, I'm going to save you and I'm going to deliver you. Why? Because I have a plan for your life. Don't mistake the fact that God does not have a plan for your life. He has a plan for your life. Look at the times that he saved you, that he's delivered you, that he stopped you from you. The times when you turned on yourself and he stopped it and said, stop. The time when he stopped the thoughts from coming in your head because they were so overwhelming, you thought to yourself, I might as well just kill myself. You know, those thoughts. We don't talk about those thoughts. The time where you were in that relationship and God kept knocking on the door of your heart and saying, get, stop it, break it off, break it off. And it was God's mercy that had them break it off to save you. Because you weren't strong enough to do it yourself. And God said, okay, I'll have someone else do it. Someone who's not even part of my line, I'll have them do it. God in his mercy and his grace said, all right, I'm going to allow him to fire you so that you can get alone with me and find out what I really have for you. So that you stop wondering and working for people. I haven't called you to be in that place. Listen, that's not your grace. Other people, that's their grace. But for you, I'm trying to get you in a position where you start to walk in my grace. You got to be where the grace of God is. The grace of God was not here anymore for them. Not here. Lost the target, lost their focus. And for you, first thing you got to do, especially in these times, is that you got to keep your eyes on the target. You got to keep your eyes. You move for like 1 minute or look another way, the enemy is waiting and crouching right there to take you out. It's a real thing. It's not something that we just play with and open my. I'm going to open myself up just to test him. Don't test him. Because it's not like he has to get ready. He's already ready. He's already watching you. He already knows. And he has his people looking out for you, just waiting and seeing the slip. You know the stakeouts? Okay. He's got staked out at your house right now. He staked out, and he knows the places you go. Just to, in case that you decide to slip up, he'll be right there being like, I told you, Lord, I told you. I told you they weren't strong enough. I told you. And then on you, I told you you weren't going to be able to do it. You are not strong. You thought you had God on your side. I told you. Accusation, accusation, accusation. I told you God didn't have a plan for your life. I told you that he even wasn't worth serving. I told you about that. And then because you're in that state of defeat and downcast, you start to believe it. And be like, you know what? You're right. If you're not strong enough in your head, you start to believe what he says. That's what compromise does. You just got to be ready. It's coming. It's coming. The test is coming. He would like nothing else for you. You get stuck in sin. Just get stuck in it and be okay with it. This is what we have today. This is what we have in this nation today. A softening to what is. Yeah, it's not that bad. They're just people. They're just people. Hear the thought process. They're just people. You know what? Nobody's perfect. Right? Nobody's perfect. And so, rather than confront stuff and stand up to it and stand against it, you start to let it become a part of just your everyday life. Ah, this is normal. That's just who we are now. You ever hear that? That's just who we are. That's just who we are. What can we do? And little by little, backing you up in a corner. The only thing I can do is just pray for him. And not realize that God is sending you out to change the curve. Okay? I'm not talking about the COVID curve. Change the curve. Okay? Change the curve of society where it's going. This is a real important time for you right now. Can't slip now. You slip, may not come back. Because the slope now is slippier than ever. Oh, it's slippier than ever. Listen, you wanna battle ideology? No, now's the time, okay? You wanna get swept away? Now's the time. Now's the time. Because God's coming in and he's bringing judgment. And there are things that God is saying, I need you to get right. I need you to get right. You got to discern the times. You got to discern it. These are the times. This is your time, okay? This is your time. I understand the reality of what happened and what's happening right now, but God has placed you in this time in history for this purpose now. You're not going to anywhere else. You're not going backwards. You're not going forwards. You're not going back to the future. You're not going back to the past. You're not going anywhere, okay? This is your time right now that God said, I'm giving you to raise up the standard of righteousness and to live like I called you to live, okay? So, listen, clean it up. Clean it up. Okay, clean it up. Watch your thoughts. Clean it up. When you feel yourself getting out of line, get back in line. Kick yourself back in line. Because there is a prevailing grace of God that I believe is here now, and it's growing in order to keep those that he's chosen by his mercy and grace to stay in line. Stay in line. Stay in line. Don't look at everything else as FOMO. Now's not the time to FOMO. It's not the time. Fear of missing out. Okay, now's not the time for you to look out and be like, oh, I'm missing out. You're not missing out. You're not missing out. Okay, you're not. You do not want to be part of the world system and schemes right now. Don't believe the enemy's lies that says, well, if I could just. No, you can't. You can't. Nope. No. What does that mean? I won't have any fun. Yeah, you'll have some fun. When you're walking in God's will and being blessed, and when you're looking back and everybody else is not, well, God's will, it's hard, but there's safety. God's will, it's hard, but there's blessing. God's will is hard, but there's faith there. You ever notice in your life where there's a little bit of compromise? You are not as confident. And when you approach God, it's more like with one eye. Because you know that God knows. Instead of approaching him like this, you're like this, like God doesn't see. And God looks down and says, until we get that done and fixed, we're not going to have a free, open relationship because you're trying to hide. Don't you know that I can see everything? You're talking about a God who can see in the dark and who can see down in your soul, and we're trying to hide stuff from him. It's just better just to be honest. Come on. You can fool a lot of people. You can fool them, but you can't fool God. That's why you're restless right now. Some of y'all are restless. Because it's dangerous when you come into a place where the presence of God is there. Because you know, okay, unless I run out of this room. Okay? And let listen, unless look, hold. Oh, I just got a text from my mom. My mom said I gotta go. I gotta go. Yeah, Justin, you're in trouble. Thank you. Okay, yeah, okay. As I'm saying that, we gotta talk about that. Sorry. So okay, all of a sudden, we start making stuff like I gotta go. Why? Because you're uncomfortable. You know what I'm talking about. We start doing things that to protect you. Because you know that God's eye is on you. And you're trying to hide, but his eye's on you, and they're saying, listen, just turn to me. If you turn to me, you won't have to escape anymore. Because where are you going? Because he's over there where you're going. So you know somebody's going to be there pushing you back this way. And so where can you go from God's presence? If you make your bed in hell, he's there. If you make it in heaven, he's there. On earth, he's there. You can't hide from him. And so God's going to strategically, listen, if you are called by God and God has a plan for your life, he will strategically place people in your life to point you in the right direction and to speak truth to get you where you need to be. You can hide all you want. He's just good. Discern the times. Why do I just feel really uncomfortable right now? I know. I know you do. Because it's hard to serve God and not be uncomfortable. And it's doubly as hard to not be in God's will and be uncomfortable. Because you know there's a misplacement of grace. It's not working like it should. Because you have decided to take a step outside of God's will for you and do it your way. And you know there's an irritation that's there, but you pawn it off as, well, God loves me. I'm just not ready yet. But the issue is that until you get that right, there will always be that agitation and that irritation there. Because God said, number one, I'll have no other gods before me. No other gods, okay? And that if you're not obeying me and you're not where I called you to be, my grace cannot fully protect you. And it's not that God's grace protected a lot up to this point. But what was coming? Burning fire. That's why God said, because there is a time where God says that's enough. Consequences. And we do this, and people do this, especially in the church. Well, sin is an issue. No one's looking for perfection. What is God looking for? Progress. Progress. So if you decide that I'm going to continue to walk in a course of sin because I don't want to do what God's called me to do, you know there will be consequences that are there. You will start to feel it physically. I'm telling you, you will start to feel it emotionally. You're definitely going to start feeling it in every area of your life because you have decided to step out. You step out, your game. And don't think that sin doesn't have repercussions on your body physically. Don't think. So if he's knocking, open it up. I can't. It's going to get tight. Because God knows the blessing of breaking. Brokenness opens the door for God to come in and begin to heal and reconcile. But if you can't get to that spot of where there's brokenness and you remain stiff-necked, there's going to be repercussions that are for that. Why? And people are like that because what they do is they hold on to what they know. They hold on to their own ideology just because they're stubborn. Like, it's just mine. And all the while, they're dying. Dying. Because we think we want what we want. And God says, let me show you what you want. You want me. Once you have me, other stuff's not going to matter. You don't have to taste and see that the world is good. You taste and see that I'm good, and then the world's not going to have what you need no more. You're going to walk into places. You're going to carry my spirit in there. You're going to enjoy life and not be entangled by it because you know. That's why the Bible talks about my eyes are always on him because he keeps me from the snare. Because there's a snare. You don't understand. If God were to open your eyes spiritually, you'd start to see little snares. Things that are out there that are always trying to pull you out. Pull you out. If your eyes aren't on him and your eyes start to lower, all of a sudden a snare. That's why the fear of man brings a snare. It's a snare. You start walking around, you're afraid of people, all of a sudden you get ensnared and you get entangled and you can't move because you're worried about what people are going to say. Fear paralyzes you. God said, keep your eyes on me. If you trust in me, you'll be kept safe. But there's snares. And God knows what the snares are. The enemy knows what the snares are. Pornography. It's a snare. I'm not getting it from my husband. I'm not getting it from my wife. And so what I need to do is I need to look at someone who's going to give it to me, even if it's in a fantasy sense. Yeah, it's getting an M for mature. Just so you, okay? Because this is real stuff now. Because this is what people are entangled with. I'm entangled with doubt. That's part of it. Okay, that's part of it. Okay, unbelief, yeah, but real stuff, entangled. Because deep down inside, they are entangled with doubt, they're entangled with identity issues, and so they're entangled with what happened, and so now everything else looks tantalizing to them because it fills a void. Okay, so you're trying to fill a void, and what happens is when you start to fill a void, if you're not careful, that void takes a hold of you, and that sin takes a hold of you, and now you can't get out of it. Now it becomes addiction. Now you're in addiction, okay? Now you're really where the enemy has. Now you can't get out of it. Now you're on breaks. Trying to hide stuff. Remember? Hi, Lord! I want that. Nah, can't have it. And now you're dealing with stuff because people don't know who they really are in Christ. They don't know identity. And so God has got to go through this process to try to get a hold of them and say, hey, that's not who you are. I love you. And so there's all these barriers that are placed around people to help them succeed. And so once God helps you with that, don't put yourself back into a situation where you got to open yourself back up for that stuff. So you might be struggling right now. There's no condemnation in that. I'm not throwing stones. What I am saying is get it right. Get it right. Because what happens is that you end up going down a road and a slope. You want to go down that arena? That's tough to come back from. Ask those that are married right now who have dealt with that, having to deal with that in their marriages. Are we talking right now? Are we good? Okay, we good. Okay, I know this isn't like, he's got a plan for me. Okay, I get it. We're not singing over the Spirit right now, but we're just talking truth, okay? Okay, he does have a plan for you. He wants you free from some stuff. So it's not that he doesn't love me. No, he loves you. Believe me, he loves you. Okay, it's crazy love. That's why he's trying to help you from that, okay? So if you're compromising even in relationships, you got to look at that and say, okay, what am I doing right now? What's he doing? Conscience. We talk about alcohol. It's lust of pornography. Huge. Just go down 66th right here. You want to go down 66th? You want to go down in 19? We can start naming them right here. So there is that spirit right now over this area. And even going down into Tampa. The world's way is I am born, I live, and I die. That's the world's way, okay? That's what sin did. When sin entered into the world, its message was you will sin and you will die. You will sin. Because when sin entered in, guess what? Death followed. So now you have to understand that when you are born into that sin nature. And that sin nature says death. You will sin and you will die. But Jesus comes in and says, no, I've given you a new nature in me and you're made new. So now, even though you do sin, you have an advocate with the Father and that you can pray to me. And if you confess those sins, I'm faithful and just to forgive them and cleanse them from all unrighteousness. And now here's the out. The out is that if you accept me and I become the wedge between you and what was, your past is forgiven because you've accepted me. Now it's, wow, I have a hope in a future and it's about eternity. Before, there was no hope. No hope. Think about your life before Christ. You were just doing your life. Had no idea. I'm just going to die. Just living your life. I'm going to live today because I don't know if I'm going to die. Now you have a purpose. Someone's got in there. He's changed some stuff around, changed the nature around, changed the way you think. Now the life I live by the faith that I have in Christ now. And so now I have a hope in the future. I look at the world different, and I go, and I look at what I used to do, and I say, who that? You don't even know that person no more. But because of God's mercy and his grace, he said, come on. Come on. You're not going to come? I'll take you. Back to that statement that we talked about a few weeks ago, where God never violates my will. The times you didn't want to come, and he said, you're coming. Some of y'all didn't even want to be saved, and God saved you. And there's no one doing that. No one doing. That's why no matter how hard you rail against God and your flesh rants out, his grace is always sufficient and pulls you back in where you need to be. Why? Because you're chosen. Chosen. I'm not going to go against what I saved, he said. And I'm going to go against what I made provision for to bring out of where she came from or where he came from and decide, I'm not going to go against my word. Pastor Richie, well, you once saved, always saved. I'm not going to get in that with you today. Because people like to debate that. I say, listen, I follow Jesus. That's what I do. His grace is sufficient. I follow him. So God chose you. And I want you to think about this as we get to close. Come on up. We got to climb up. I want you to think about this. God's grace was so sufficient, even in his state of compromise. He finds him in a state of compromise. I'm not talking about like he didn't know where he was. He found him in a city filled with people and said, I have come to destroy the city. And if you read the scripture of where this story was, he said, I can't do anything until you get to the place where you need to be. I didn't put all that up there. It's just too much. But you need to read that because God said, I came here to protect you and to get you where you need to be. I'm telling you to get there because I'm going to take this city out. But I got to get you where you need to be. Move! There are some things that I want to kill in your life, he said. There are some things I want to take out. I want to take out a thought process that is not lining up to my word. I'm going to take out some habits. And he said, until you see that my grace is sufficient and how merciful I am, you'll always think that I'm one way. Did this not possibly change Lot's life when he saw that with everybody else there, God said, I want you and your daughters out. Notice the sons-in-law didn't make it. You faking. Okay. And got them all out, and the wife. But because she looked back, she lost her life. And I'm not saying that's going to happen to you, but what I am saying is that every time you look back, you lose a little bit of the life that God died to give you. He was so patient with the Israelites. Every time they looked back, it was better in Egypt. It was better. And he kept saying, here's more manna. Put up with them. Until finally he said to the older generation, I've had enough. The younger generation's coming in. You keep looking back. You slow down your progress. There are certain times in your life where God says, I want you to move. I want you to do it quickly. This isn't one of those permissive will things where God's like, I'm going to give you a year. There are times where God says, I want you to move. I want you to move. It's for a reason. I look back at my life. Here's one of the things you need to understand about God. He works with you and your personality. Okay, he does not all of a sudden change you into something that you're not and say, be my robot and become like I want you to become. No, I made you the way you're supposed to be, and I want you to be that way. Don't apologize for it. Be you and do you, boo. Do it, because that's who I love. And so what he said was, get out. If I tell you to move that way, I want you to move that way. I know you. I know your tendencies. I know the way you're wired. Do it. Lot, move. Get out of the way. No. Okay. Same thing. There are times in my life I knew God was pushing my back. No. I'm not going to allow you to look back that way anymore. There are times in your life where God says, stop looking back. It's not for you. There will be a time. Lot eventually gets to the place where he needs to be. It's Zoar. It's a city over from him. He gets to the place. Finally, he looks back when it's all said and done. Abraham comes on the scene too. Smoke coming up from the city. Everything destroyed. There will be a time where you'll be able to look back and say, man, I can't believe what God did. Hmm. Oh, man, I can't believe what God did. What a great place. You look back and say, all the enemies that were there are not there no more. And you're living in God's grace and God's provision, all because that even though you didn't want to come, God knew what was on the other side of it. God said, believe me, you want to go that way, addiction gone, all that stuff gone. Go that way. Okay, I'll go that way. Even though I'm like, okay, and you're going that way, you'll look back and say, oh, man, wow, you look good. Wow, you're freer. Wow, they don't bother me no more. Wow, you're walking in freedom. Wow, you learn who I am. You learn that my goodness and my grace is sufficient. You learn that I am who I say I am. You learn that I can do what I say I can do. You learn that his mercy and grace is sufficient. And so next time, it's easier. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I learned that lesson a long time ago. There are certain lessons you got to recall. Just recall them. And God is so good to remind you how far you came. Yes. Let's all stand on our feet.